Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters. Tonight we will hear second part of my lecture given this January 2015. It was in Serbian Orthodox Church of St. Lazarus, Alexandria, Sydney. So those who were able to hear the first part, now they will hear the second one. Thank you, and I hope you will enjoy this lecture.
In all those days in New York City, I was leading really sinful life, really going into the direction of some kind of passive suicide. But at the same time, as my parents raised me, I was always trying to be good, to help people, to sacrifice myself if somebody would ask for help. And I would always, even losing something of my properties, I would go and help others. It was always more nice to me, more sweet to me, to help others, to give to others than to receive. And I would always feel something good in my heart when I would do some good deed. I remember when I was a kid, when I was finishing high school, and after the high school, of course, it's a big day, and we celebrate maturity. So we went into one of the restaurants in Belgrade. So we drank, of course, not very heavy, but we did. We were 18 years old, and it was around midnight. We left restaurant and we went towards bus station to go home. And then all of a sudden, there was a young rascal. Jesi tako kaže mladi siledžija, rascal. Mladi siledžija, mladi onako. Rascal, yeah. A young man who was he was just there to torture whoever he meets. So he was there.
Brute.
Yeah. So he approached to me. I don't know why, because maybe I'm blonde, so I'm just maybe attracting attention or whatever, I don't know. There was 15 of us, because usually Serbs are not blonde, you know, they are mostly dark. So somehow he scanned me and he approached me, and I was a little bit drunk. So he was asking money. And then he asked cigarettes and he asked whatever I had. So I got angry a little bit. And I don't remember well, but maybe I tried to hit him or just to put him away. But he was very, very well versed in fight. So like in box match, he just moved a little bit, and I just passed him like a little bit, like slow, being drunk, and I found myself dangerously close to him. And all of a sudden, the knife appeared in his hand, and he went like this, and he cut me over here, close to my carotid arteria. So it was very close. I could bleed there like a chicken in 5 minutes and die. But fortunately, it was not the case. And then the policeman, then he ran away, and then police came after 15 minutes. They saw something happened. So I was called in court because they caught him the very night. And I was called as a witness because he robbed certain shops after that. And when I went into the courtroom, I sat there, and very soon after that, after 5 minutes, he approached, the convict approached with a cuffs, how do you say? Handcuffs. With beard not being shaved for about maybe 7 days. He was in prison even more than that. So the judge asked me to condemn him. And in the meantime, it was a woman judge, she was writing something, and he looked at me with a terribly sad face, and he begged me like this without words, please do not.
Don't accuse me.
Like, please help me. Do not accuse me. Do not let me go in jail. And I was so touched at my heart. I was thinking, this poor young man, who knows what kind of what is his life? Maybe he doesn't have parents, whatever. So when judge asked me, okay, Mr. Jovanovic, what do you have to say about this man? I said, judge, I don't know. I don't remember. It was night. We were celebrating. I do not remember anything. And she said, what do you mean you do not remember anything? I said, I do not remember anything. And just I sat down. And she said, okay, you can leave. So in those moments, I felt such a beauty in my heart, in my soul, that I didn't put more accusing this poor guy. So many times like this in my life, I was always trying to be good to people. And because of that, God saved me in those very risky days of my life in New York. A lot of friends of mine, they just disappeared because they didn't have this goodness in their hearts. Why? They didn't have love from their parents. I had love from my parents. And through love, you acquire divine love. Through the love of your parents, you acquire divine love. So I had this love to the fellow man, and I didn't perish completely. Vanish, how do you say? So finally I came to the verge of my life, of my existence. I managed to acquire everything that I was, you know, imagining when I was a little kid in Belgrade. Big world, New York, money, business. I managed to have private business in Lower East Side, East Village, Greenwich Village. I had friends, cars. I had my car, I had my apartment, which was not easy thing to acquire for a young immigrant. So God gave me enough cleverness to reach all these material goods. But when I have reached all these things, I found my heart the emptiest ever in my life. So I came to the point that my life do not have any meaning anymore. It was 1989, New York City, Manhattan. So I was telling to myself, talking to myself, nobody asked me if I want to come into this existence, into this life. I was just born into this world. So that's why I have a right to finish with my life, to kill myself, just to finish it, because it's only suffering, it's only emptiness, there is no real love, there is no real friendship. In New York, everywhere, there is no real friendship. Only if you can be used by somebody, you're going to be with somebody. Either in material way, in a bodily way, or in a spiritual way. If you're used enough, if there is no use of you anymore, you're just thrown away like empty can of Coca-Cola. I have realized there is no really love in world anymore. No real friendship. Only if you can be used for something. And that's it. So, God didn't really lead me. And I met a man. He used to live in Sydney. He was a young man like myself. And he was... I saw him one night in a party somewhere in New York, some crazy party with friends of mine who were all kind of interesting people, freaks, you know, artists. And that was my companion. That was my company. That was kind of people that I was together with. Artists, crazy ones, weird ones, gays, lesbians, whatever. But so empty. And I met this man in this party, and he was like looking completely straight. But he had something that I needed badly. I saw something in this man, in this young man. Some serenity, some peace of mind, some joy. Как скажу, ведрина, clarity of his spirit. But he didn't smoke anything, he didn't drink anything, he didn't sniff anything, and everybody was doing that. And this attracted me really strongly to this young man. So we met. We didn't know each other in Belgrade. And after a while, when I was talking to him, I saw that this man possesses something. He's in possession of something that I needed badly. And after a while, after maybe 10-15 days, when it was decent enough, I went to his apartment having a cup of tea. So I asked him about what does he do in his life being so clear in mind, being so peaceful and joyful and so pleasant person. And he told me, well, I was expecting you going to ask me this, but I'm sure you're going to be disappointed. I'll tell you. You see, I'm an Orthodox Christian. And we are now in the period of Great Lent. I'm preparing for communion, for Easter. And I was disappointed. I was expecting that he is going to tell me that he have found some special technique from Far East, something that we didn't discover yet. Some higher meditative technique, something that we didn't know, and this is really going to help me. So I said, okay, thank you, and I left his apartment, being very disappointed. I went home, but I really couldn't leave just like that. I remembered his eyes. I remember his smile. I remember that he was so different than others. And he was so pleasant. He was so nice to me. You know, he had time to talk to me. Not only during these crazy parties and in pubs where we can just drink and get stoned and then that's it. Because in today's world, there is no friends. There is no a man or a person that you can talk to. Nobody has time for that. And not only that, nobody has enough strength, inner power to receive maybe your trouble, your problem. Because he has problems. And if he receives, if he listens to your problem, he's going to get down in depression. So they all ran away from you. And what do you have to do? You have to go to shrink. We have to go to the psychologist, to psychotherapist, to pay for friendship. You pay for friendship. You pay for somebody to listen to you. And we need badly somebody to pay attention to us, to listen to us, and to say, it's okay, my friend. It's not that bad. We're going to go together. We're going to make it. And maybe we are not going to make it, but this love, this mutual contact is something so precious that we do not have anymore in this Western world or everywhere, because Western society is now everywhere. So I was so, you know, the similar thing happened after my this week conversation, week lecture in Melbourne. There was a Greek young lady who, after the talk, approached me and took my telephone number. I'm refusing to give my telephone number, but this time I really had to. So she called after 2 days, and she brought her father, who is Australian. She's half Australian, she's half Greek, and he's suffering from heavy depression. He's taking drugs. So I accepted him. So we talked for more than an hour, and after that he couldn't believe that I gave an hour of my time to him, and I didn't ask for money or anything, and I gave him my love and my understanding, and I told him that he can solve his problem of his depression, not with drugs. So today we are surprised if somebody have time for us, but nobody have time for us. And so the very next day I said to myself, well, I cannot just be such a snob and go away from this man. I have to go back. And I went there, and he said, thank God, I was expecting you, but I was not sure, are you going to come? So I asked him, please tell me about what is this Orthodox Christianity, although I was baptized as a child, but that was it, nothing else. I lost the grace of baptism, since from the early childhood I started to live sinful life. And from stench of sin, the Holy Spirit withdraws and leaves us without weapons, without means how to fight this toxical world that we live in. So he said, he told me a little bit about Christianity, but he said, I'm not a theologian, and I do not know much about it. So he gave me a book. There was a book about, from a Russian monk from 14th century or 15th century, I don't remember well, who spent some time on Mount Athos in Greece, and who learned there what is a real center, what is a real heart of Orthodox Christianity, which is called hesychasm, which is the deepest and the highest spirituality that exists in this world. Years before that, I thought in my life that only philosophies that come from far east are something really serious and something really lofty. But after reading this book, it was a short book, it was like a manual for something, it was not a big book, and there I have realized what is world, what is spiritual world, that there is a supreme being, the creator of the universe, God. There is human soul. What is human soul? What is human passions, obsessions? What is the disease of the soul? What are the troubles of today's world? And what are the spiritual beings that are around us? The spirits of light and spirits of darkness. And how the spirits of darkness can influence us, and how can they degenerate our lives, our souls, our health, and how to protect ourselves. And there I found that there was a special technique, special action, how to protect ourselves, called prayer. And for the first time in my life, I'm facing and I'm coming in touch with something which is close to meditation, but it is not meditation, something new. And it's not reading, it's a contemplation. It's a contemplative prayer, which resembles meditation, or better to say, meditation resembles prayer, mental prayer, prayer of the mind and the heart, which is the supreme meditation, supreme contact with supreme being. So the very next day I went back, because I read this book very fast, I went back and took another book, which was different now. It was from a Serbian saint called Saint Nikolai of Žiča. And it was a book from his early years, when he was still under the influence of another world thinkers. From one side, he was under the influence of Friedrich Nietzsche, and on the other side, he was under the influence of Far East religions. After that, when he went to Mount Athos, he strengthened up his orthodoxy, and he became really orthodox. After Holy Mountain, after visiting Russia, because he was studying in Western Europe. And no matter on how well-developed Roman Catholic or Protestant theology school you go, you are under the influence of the Western Church, which lost grace. So the great Nikolai, in his young age, was still under the influence. And in this book, he was talking about the greatest poet of Serbian nation called Njegoš, the religion of Njegoš, called this book was called. And this book was really, really fit for me. So God really knows how to approach us. So since in those years, I was still in this esoterical world, being deeply rooted into the Far East meditations, this book was not really talking too much about Jesus Christ. It was more talking about universe, creator of the universe, but definitely talking about God. So it helped me greatly to approach and to enter Christianity, because maybe if he was from the very beginning starting to approach me with Jesus Christ, maybe I would withdraw. So this book helped me a lot. And it was an extremely important period of my life. I started to pray. For the first time in my life, I said, okay, I have nothing to lose. Suicide is always waiting for me. I can always commit suicide. And most likely I'm going to do that, because I don't believe that this is going to help me. It is maybe another just way how to falsely to comfort myself in a false way. But I said, okay, I believe there is something, and I will pray. In the meantime, I quit with my partner. I had this business with him. In the meantime, he met an American girl. She was very successful in fashion. She used to work in fashion district, making, in those days, 25 years ago, she was making $100,000 a year for a young lady who just entered this business. But she was an extremely terrible person. Like many young white girls in America in those days. Because they were so spoiled. They were so, spoiled. They were so spoiled. They thought that they're the kings, that the rulers of the world. And they had this arrogancy. And she was looking at us just like a small slaves from some faraway Serbia. She couldn't even pronounce Serbia. And she was, of course, very arrogant. She had money. We were just immigrants. And we were forced to live together for a while because we had to repay some debts of ours. But, of course, I didn't want to live with them. They were, in the meantime, they got married. But she was so strongly forcing himself, her husband, to quit with me. So we got in fight finally. He was cheating me with money. And I found that. So we quit. As I said, only if you can be used for something. If there is no, kako se kaže, korist, još na neki drugi način. Usefulness. If there is no usefulness, you are just put away. So we quit. I went to a cheaper apartment in Brooklyn, and I had a chance now to live alone. I didn't want to have a roommate. And I started to pray. And in this majestic period of my life, for the first time, when I closed the door behind me of my apartment, when I sat on my chair, and when I started to invoke the Jesus name, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Once, twice, three times, four times, and then the heavens open. I don't know how to explain this. I think I started to cry, and I couldn't stop crying for maybe 1 hour, that first time when I started to pray. All the rivers of Babylon, of my tragedy of my life, started to flow out of from me. And I didn't know what is happening, what is going on. And I said, am I crazy? I'm crying like a little child. What is this going on? But I felt it's something good. It really makes me feel good. It cleanses me. So I didn't stop. I was just crying, but it was not like a hysteria. It was very quiet, crying, but from the depths of my being. And I felt such a love in these moments. Like you finally come back home after many years of spilling your life all over. Like in this moment in Gospel with the prodigal son. He went far away from his home. He spilled all his wealth, and he was eating pig's food. I was eating swine food. I became like a swine, even worse, because I'm given to be man, and I became an animal. Animal is just an animal, and it is made to be an animal. But we are made to be humans, and not even that. We are made to become divine. To be small gods by grace, not by essence, of course. But we are actually living as animals, or something in between human and animals. And I have realized that there is something very, very serious in this Orthodox Christianity, in prayer. It is something extremely more lofty than this cheap meditation, this cheap spirituality that I used to indulge for many years. So from that moment on, I started to pray every day, every night. And it was a period of change of my mind, of great change of my mind, because I came to the point of repentance. I have realized where I was, what I was doing, that I almost have lost my life. I was on the verge of suicide. I came to the point of my life that I was thinking about suicide. Maybe I would not commit a suicide, but only to think about suicide is enough to realize that your life is ruined. And being faced with such an immense love that came to me from somewhere. I didn't know from where. It was just filling me more and more. This supreme feeling of love and feeling of immortality. It is connected. And at the same time, when you feel that you are so loved from some being, that there is no somebody that you can hold. But it is even more than that. And this feeling of immortality, that you are immortal, that you are not going to die, that this energy is burning in you and it is going to be there forever. And it is only a question, how are you going to go there? How are you going to enter this another state of existence, which is going to be when we take off our bodies? So very soon, I have decided this is my only way. Maybe for two more months, when I was praying, I was thinking, of course, I'm becoming an Orthodox Christian. And I was always an Orthodox Christian. But unfortunately, I departed from that road and I just came back home. And I was so delighted realizing how precious pearl we Orthodox Christians have, that we are raised from our early childhood. Because I met a lot of people in the United States in that church that I started to go to attend, people from West, beautiful people, much more fervent Orthodox Christians than we are from Balkans. But they had these difficulties to take off all this heavy weight of Western civilization and Western spirituality. And I didn't have to struggle much because I had this in my roots. So it is a great pearl. If you are coming from that background or if not, doesn't matter. It is there for every one of us. But after about 2 months, I have realized, because this love was coming to me more and more, and I have decided I have to dedicate myself completely to this way, to this path. I started to think about monastic life. I didn't know where to find out what is it all about. I had some books, I was reading a lot, but I needed a live word. So I heard that on West Coast in Los Angeles there was a Serbian bishop who was a monk from Mount Athos in Greece, Holy Mountain. He was 20 years over there. So I went straight away over there. He accepted me at his home. I spent there five days. He was extremely generous. And I asked him, "Bishop, Your Grace, tell me, I'm thinking about monasticism. Is this something weird? Is this something good for me? Or do I have to receive certain sign for that?" He said, "No. Whoever feels call or any slight idea that he would like to maybe to see what it is, he should go to the monastery and spend certain time, certain period of time over there, and to see if there is a real call. He will stay there, and because when you go to monasticism and you have really real call, kako se kaže priziv, možda još bolje, calling, then you enter monastic life like you are going to get married, like you find the love of your life." So I obeyed him, and after maybe 6 months more, because I had to finish some duties of mine, in the meantime, I became an icon painter. I met people in OCA, Orthodox Church in America, in New York. I met a priest and his cousin. They were ex-Roman Catholics. The priest was ex-Roman Capuciner monk, and his cousin, Daniel, Brazilian, who came to New York, he was an icon painter. So with them, I changed my life completely, because I was always longing for what branch of art should I find for myself. And finally, I have found iconography. And so since I started an iconostasis for them, I had to stay in New York for 6 months more. So when I finished, I just ran away in the monastery like a bird from the cage. Although for the people in the world, monastery is like a cage. But a monastery is actually ultimate freedom, because you are with Lord. We are giving yourself completely to the Lord. You are giving yourself completely to the prayer, to the spiritual life. And when you receive the Creator of the universe, which is a freedom by itself, then you are free. And it's a question, what is freedom? Freedom is freedom from yourself. We have to free ourselves, from our passions and our lusts. So the question of freedom is, when you free yourself from your fallen nature, and when you have find the clarity of virtues, of Christian virtues, then no matter if you are in prison or anywhere, you are free. You are deeply, ultimately free. So that's what I have found when I closed myself within the walls of the monastery, within the walls of my cell. I continued to pray over there for one more month, and I have decided that, and I have realized that monasticism is for me. So, to make this long story shorter, I couldn't find real fulfillment and guidance, spiritual guidance in the United States, in this church, maybe not in the United States, I'm sorry, but in this monastery, in the OCA, in those times. So I had decided to go back to the old continent, and I went to Greece, to Mount Athos. I spent 1 month in Mount Athos, in the monastery of Philotheo, Greek monastery, with a lot of monks. There was, I think, about 80 monks at that time. It was a real, very serious, good monastery, but with a lot of pilgrims. And in those times, they were installing central heating, so there was a lot of noise over there. And I was looking for a smaller a community, even for a hermitage or for a small cell, but I couldn't find it, because monasteries on Mount Athos are open for pilgrims, but not small cells, because you have to know somebody. So in Serbian monastery of Hilandar, I couldn't find myself. I couldn't find what I was looking for, because in those times, it was 1993, there was a bloody war in ex-Yugoslavia, and unfortunately, Serbs as we are, in those times there were a lot of politics and a lot of talk about fight and everything, a lot of brandy. So it was not my world. My world was a world of prayer, repentance, and communion with Lord. So finally, I have decided that I'm not going to stay on Mount Athos anymore. Since I met certain young people who went through Balkans and through Orthodox monasteries in Balkans, so I saw some pictures from Kosovo, from the monastery of Visoki Dečani, Tol Dečani, and I went there. And there, finally, I have found my real home. There I became a monk. It was I spent there 12 years, and it was the most fruitful part of my monastic life concerning common life. Because in monasticism, you have a common life, cenobitic life, as they say, where you live together in the monastery, and you have a life in isolation, living alone. So in those 12 years, I have learned what monasticism is all about. And in those beautiful years, I learned a lot about prayer. I was kind of weird for other monks, I must admit, even in those times, even among monastics, because I was such a great sinner. And all those young men who were there, they were good, more or less good boys, coming from more or less good background, and they didn't sin that much in their lives. So, considering how much did you indulge in sin, How much did you harm yourself? That much God gives you grace. Because we, heavy sinners, we need some strong sensation to be pulled off, pulled from this pit of sin, this pit of stench. And in those days, I remember very often the grace of God would come to me. Those moments were beautiful. Those moments were moments of paradise. And I remember other great men in human history. For example, Socrates, or Soren Kierkegaard, or those existentialist philosophers who were fed up with a sterile philosophy, who were looking for real life, like Jean-Paul Sartre, Heidegger, Jaspers, Friedrich Nietzsche. They were looking for real life. They were fed up with Hegel and all those empty systems. And like a Kierkegaard, like a Socrates, they felt feeling of universe coming into them, but they didn't know what is it, and they lost it. But to our Orthodox Christians, with prayer, with communion, with a whole system of Orthodox psychotherapy, which is concealed in the Orthodox Christian Church, we very often, usually in the beginning of our entrance in the church, God is giving us, He's visiting us with this visitation of Holy Spirit, of this beautiful feeling. All of a sudden, everything changes, and you're like in heaven, like in paradise. Everything is so clear, everything is so beautiful. No passions, no lusts, no sinful movements, just serenity, love, and hope that one day, when you leave this life, you are going to find yourself in such a realm which is called paradise or kingdom of Lord, God's kingdom. So those moments were so precious to me. Sometimes it would happen out of prayer. Sometimes it was given to me to feel beautiful fragrance. All of a sudden you feel fragrance coming from, like a beautiful perfume coming from somewhere. And in the beginning I thought it is coming from incense or from somewhere. So early in the morning in my cell, when I would wake up before the church for my prayer rule, I would feel this beautiful fragrance coming from somewhere. But I could never compare it with anything, but it would just resemble maybe incense, you know, when you... So I would go out slowly. It was still dark, of course, it was night, early in the morning. So I would go to the next door of my fellow monk. I would go to the door of his cell, and slowly I would go there and see, maybe he's burning incense in his cell, but nothing of that sort. This, it was a divine incense. It was a fragrance that was coming from above. And it used to come very often in those days. And it was moments of paradise. It was giving to me to tell me, you see, what do I have prepared for you? And you were sniffing garbage all your life, smoking death, poison. And you see what I have prepared for you. And imagine how it is going to be one day if you clean up the soul, the eye of your soul, when you go one day in this realm of eternity. So it was a real school. I didn't read this. Nobody told me this. It was given to me more and more. But of course, like it happens always like this, in the beginning, Lord gives us this to call us, to attract us, to go after Him. But it is not deserved. It's a gift. And then, from that initial period, which is like in a regular love between husband and wife, in the beginning, this honeymoon, and this first love is beautiful, but then it fades away slowly, and then we have to work on our marriage hard. To stay in marriage for our whole life is not easy. It's a great feat. It's a great poduhvat.
Endeavor.
And it's so easy to get divorced. It is so easy to leave the monastery. This first engagement with Lord, it is beautiful, but then it fades away slowly, and then we have to struggle. Whether we are monks, whether we are Orthodox Christians in an Orthodox Christian marriage, those two ways are leading into the kingdom of heaven, even in this world. But it is not easy. We have to struggle, especially today. A lot of temptations. We see that marriage doesn't last. It lasts very short. We are all spoiled. We do not want to sacrifice anything. And we have to sacrifice a lot if we want to gain such a beautiful gift from the Lord. And it is a joyful soul, healthy soul, love, whether in monasticism or in marriage. So, after this initial period, it started to fade away slowly, and it was an alarm. I said, what is going on? The Lord is leaving me. Maybe I'm not pleasing to Him anymore. It was a terrible state. And it sometimes, you can come to the point of despair. But that's why we have our spiritual guides. And my spiritual father told me, Father Arsenius, do not worry. It is always like this. It is a real way. And it is like in marriage. If a young couple comes and says to a priest or somebody, Father, something is wrong. We used to love each other. But what happened? And he's there to say, it's only natural. It's normal. It is how it should be. Now you have to struggle. Now you have to show that you are ready to sacrifice. Now you have to show that you are ready to wait for many years. And only then real love comes. Kako se kaže zaljubljenost u odnosu na ljubav? Ima li ta reč u engleskom? This initial love is not real love. It is initial love for real love. In Serbian we have a word zaljubljenost.
Attraction.
Yeah, attraction. Attraction. Attraction is
infatuation.
Infatuation is there only to progress into the real love, but only after many years of struggle and temptations. And it's a gift from the Lord. Of course, if we are in a church marriage where we have a protection. And it is in monasticism as well. A lot of terrible temptations. And how many times monk have an idea, this is too much for me, I cannot stand it anymore. It is so hard. In the beginning it was so beautiful, but now I feel without this support anymore. How it is going to be in years that are coming? I do not have a wife, I do not have children. I am only one in my cell. What if I got sick? And today we do not have many monks. Before, especially in Serbia, we used to have monasteries with 30, 40, 50 monks. And in this community, there is a real thing that you're going to have somebody, some young monk who is going to help you, to support you when you get old. That's how it goes in monasticism. Today, it is hard. There is no novices. So you come to the point of despair. What is going to happen with me? But of course, God do not leave us alone. He's just leading us a little bit, withdrawing from us, and watching us. How do we struggle? How do we fight? How do we lead our spiritual combat? And after a certain period of years, He's visiting us again and granting us this divine love in marriage and in monasticism. And this is the goal that we are fighting for. This supreme divine love, which is going to be our inheritance, our kad posjedimo nešto naša our possession, it's our doesn't matter. That's something that we have, that we possess, our belonging. So after 12 years of living in a common life, these divine visitations were more seldom, but they were still there, and I was longing, craving for them so badly. Whenever God would leave me, I would go back to this animal state of my soul, animal state of my mind, and I never wanted to go back in this realm where I was without God, without the Holy Spirit. So I asked for a blessing. It is kind of a story. I'm not going to go deep into it because it's going to prolong this too much. I have received a blessing to go into the mountains, to live alone, to build up my hermitage, and to live there as a hermit. And I have received this blessing. And that day, when I have received this blessing, that was maybe one of the most happiest days in my life. I couldn't sleep all that night. That all night. I couldn't sleep out of excitement, because I was always longing for desert, to be alone with my love, with my God. So I left monastery of Visoki Dečani, because it would be so normal to go just not far away from there in the mountains to build up a hermitage and to live there. But since there was a after war time on Kosovo, the Serbs were defeated side, because we were bombed as animals, as insects. The Western world have decided that Serbs are the worst people in the world. They are cannibals, they are animals, and they should be destroyed. They should be effaced from the earth. So we were bombed with the bombs with uranium. Now we have a lot of cancer, leukemia, because the civilized part of this world have decided that this way they're going to protect and they're going to introduce more peace and civilization in this world. Bombing and killing and spilling uranium. So finally I went into my hermitage, and there I entered the strongest, the heaviest and the hardest part of my life. The heaviest 5 years of my life and the most beautiful 5 years of my life. Because always over there I was completely dedicated to the prayer, to the mental prayer. I was praying there for the most part of the days. I have reached, let's say, about 8 hours of mental prayer every day, which was not easy at all, and it was not in the beginning. In the beginning I started with 3 or 4 hours a day, and it is extremely hard. The hardest thing is to pray mentally. Everything else is easier. Any kind of physical work in a monastery is easier than to pray mentally. But it is through this prayer the most precious gifts are given to a person. And in those moments I was faced with the most beautiful moments in my life. It was like a resurrection. You feel that you're immortal, that you're resurrected. And at the same time, there was a lot of troubles with the spirits of darkness who didn't like and who didn't want me to be there. And for 5 years, 24 hours a day, they were trying to expel me out of there. And of course, they didn't appear to me like they appear in the lives of saints. Of course, I was just a little minute monk, those spiritual giants. They had much terrible and much bigger combats. But my combat was given to me as well. And it was strong enough for myself. And there I was really faced with a hatred, with a terrible deep hatred of fallen spirits, how they hate the human race and what they do with us. Through terrible moments I used to go then. And those moments in this world were called like psychic disturbances. I was, let's say, a madman. In any other occasion, I would run to a psychiatrist and ask for help. Because the devil didn't appear in those days, in those years, as a monster or knocking on my door or making noise on my attic, like it says. No, it was too romantic. He would enter into my body, my soul, my spirit, and he was torturing me terribly. It was like a hell's fire. And from those days, I know what is most part of psychic disturbances, psychic diseases, psychiatric problems. They're basically and mostly spiritual. And there is a way. And many times they would even shake my house. Sometimes I would hear that a big helicopter would come and roar above my roof. And of course I know that there is no helicopter. And the thought is saying to me, just leave, go back, be a monk, be a priest, be an abbot, be a bishop, just do not stay here. And I was telling to myself and to him, no, I will go, I will stay here until my Lord wants me to stay here. And he would tell me, but just leave out, just go now out from the home, just stop your prayer right now. And I would say to myself, no, I would continue my prayer and I would go out in front of my home when I finish my prayer. And being fervent and constant in my prayer, all these influences would go away. All of a sudden everything goes away and I feel such a serenity and such a peaceful state of my mind. And I was so astonished to realize how these changes are so strong, and how in these previous moments I thought I'm losing my mind, I'm going into deep schizophrenia, I'm lost. But only because I was staying in the prayer, stubbornly being in prayer, the very next moment it would go away, because it is a fallen spirit and he cannot stay the prayer. So what we need to do is just to pray. It's a self auto exorcism. We can expel the demons who are torturing us, not going somewhere looking for some exorcist. We can do it with our own prayer. With disciplined prayer, with disciplined attending church and receiving communion. So I couldn't stay anymore there. It was not God's wish. I got sick. I couldn't make my bread anymore. I acquired heavy rheumatism. Is it this how it's called? Rheumatism. I was all completely blocked. I couldn't move anymore. Everything was hurting me. And because I was just a weak urban boy, so I had to leave. And that's how I went to Montenegro. It is one part of Serbian land called Montenegro. Because I thought maybe to go to Greece or to go to United States, to Arizona, where great Greek elder Ephrem lives there. He is founding there, establishing monasteries. He is a modern apostle. He's a I'm not the one who is going to say this one is delusion, this one is holy. But if there are holy men in this earth, one of them is Elder Ephrem in today's Arizona's monastery of Saint Anthony the Great. And remembering his counsels, I was, kako se kaže, istrajavati. I was enduring in my prayers, and I have realized such a what is a strength, what is power of prayer, that everything basically can be solved. So, but I didn't go to Greece, I didn't go to Arizona, because I met some monks from Montenegro, and Montenegro is the southern part of Serbia. It's warm over there, it's Mediterranean climate. So I went there to the seacoast. I was there for 6 months in one monastery. It didn't open there for me. And finally I found myself in a monastery of Ostrog, where I live today. In the meantime, I have written this book called God and Rock and Roll, wanting to show other side of this medal. Because there is so many books about rock and roll that this is something good, this is something in, this is something cool. And it happened when a friend of mine, Gera, Dušan Gerzić, died. His older brother, he now started to make some kind of revival of his late brother. Retrospective exhibitions in French Cultural Center in Belgrade, printing books about him. And I have realized again and again we are showing anti-models, anti-idols, idols, bad idols to our youth. What does it mean? Live fast, die young, and be nice corpse. This is the philosophy of that life. So that's why I have written a book that shows another side of the medal of this way of life. And since I have written this book, I became a little bit renowned. And when I came to Montenegro, they started to call me to talk about these things. And that's how, to my great sadness and regret, I do not live in desert anymore. I do not pray as I used to. God's providence for me, for now, I don't know for how long, is to go around, to talk about these things, and to receive people, although I'm not some kind of elder, or I'm not a healer or something, or I'm not a holy man. But since I do not know, I do know certain secrets of human spirit and human soul, because I went through them, and I managed through God's help and through prayer to save myself. So today young people are coming, and not only young people are coming into our monastery, and some of them, they are coming to my cell, and I'm trying to help them, and I'm working, and I'm trying to develop so-called Orthodox Christian psychotherapy. It sounds weird, because the Orthodox Christianity is by itself supreme psychotherapy. But since we have a lot of other psychotherapists, I see that all those other psychotherapists are wrong. They're false. They're not helping. They're just making transfer of problem just to another side of our personality. It is not solved. The only way how to help ourselves, how to heal our disturbed personalities, our souls, our spirits, is to become really spiritual, not false spiritual. Today, when you ask people on the street, are you spiritual? He's going to say, of course I'm spiritual. But what does it mean? They do not know what does it mean. To be spiritual is to hold Holy Spirit, no other spirit. Every other spirit is looking to slaughter us. And that's where I am now, trying to help people
I'm not only trying to help, but I can see in these last 4 years a lot of improvements. With people, even with bad psychical problems, with schizophrenia, with heavy depression, when they listen to the church, in this case to me, because I am talking in their language. Very often I'm using terminology of today's young people, like a slang. So I can approach him, and he understands that I understand him, that I went through the same thing. And then I use the wealth of the Orthodox Christian Church, and I just translate Holy Fathers in today's language. And young men, they accept. They start to pray. They start to confess. They start frequently to go to the liturgy. And the most important, they crown their spiritual life, their life, taking communion. And in the beginning, we see or we hear each other every 15, 20 days. Later on, when I see that situation is improving, then we do not have to see or to listen or to talk to each other anymore, because I don't want to attract people to myself, to tie them to myself. I don't want to be a guru. Sometimes people like to, kako se kaže, se veže za nekoga? To bind themselves. They have this need, but this is not good. We have to bind ourselves only to the Lord. Our spiritual fathers are here only to help us, our guides. So that's why I'm trying to connect these people with the Lord, with the prayer, and through prayer, they realize what is it all about. And slowly, the Lord and the liturgy is teaching themselves how to go. And one of the great joys of my life and happiness of my life is when I see a young man who, for the first time, when I saw him coming to my cell and telling me, sometimes even parents take somebody, you know, some young girl or boy who are terribly deformed and in problem, talking nonsense, they are hearing voices, they are seeing things, they are disturbed, sometimes they curse me and many other things. But then slowly I approach them with love, with understanding, with their terminology. And the greatest joy of my life now is when I see the faces of these young people next time and next time and next time, when I see them, they are just transforming from those possessed countenances into normal, joyful personalities. And when you see that somebody resurrected from death, that where they have been in. So this is what I'm doing right now. On one hand, I'm receiving people over there. I'm trying not to extend this too much, because I'm not this capacity, but still I'm receiving this young man, and I see that really things goes good. And I'm talking about these things in my speeches, and in the meantime I was called to work in a radio station of Serbian Orthodox Church in Montenegro. And there I'm a host of a few radio shows, and there I talk about these things. So in Serbian, but we have certain shows in English as well. And I hope that this period of my life is going to last for a certain period of time, and then it will stop, because my capacity is scarce, is small, is not big. And when I finish this mission of mine, I believe and I hope I will go back somewhere in some secluded place and continuing to pray to my Lord, who is my life and who is my love. And I want to convey this to you, to find Jesus Christ in your hearts and to find the highest fulfillment of our life, and to stay in the world, and to be active, and to be good husbands and good wives and good parents and could be and to be successful in your jobs, but in moderate way, not being greedy, running for all those things that this Western world is offering us, to be moderate in everything and to hold this spiritual wealth. And I wish you all this. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia.